Information is free.
The law.
There is hope.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for July 14th, Thursday, July 14th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel. Your daily report is the war. Counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny, and we will win that war. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to the my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa in all their extremities. And you are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You can burn it to disk. You can burn it, broadcast it out. You can do whatever you want to do with it. You are free to do that. Make remixes about it. Hey, give it to people you don't know. Because after all, spreading the virus of Newsreel is one of the most important things you can do in your day-to-day existence. Let's get straight into some feedback. Only got one piece of feedback here, so let's see if I can get through it. Hey, Sean. Let me start by saying I love your fucking work. Everything you've done is awesome. Everything? After listening to your shows and watching your episodes, the idea came into my head. I love the whole WOG movement thing, and I think about taking back our freedoms as something that is much needed. Is that what you're getting at with this whole thing? That is what you're getting at with this whole thing, right? So I came up with an acronym for WOG. I thought you might like it. It's Weapons of Genius. Let me explain. A weapon is a tool, a piece of equipment, something to be used against another. Something used against another. A genius is one who's accumulated a large amount of knowledge, or one who has a superior intellect, capable to learn, understand, analyze. So we, as WOGs, we are the weapons. Our use is to take back the freedoms we have lost. These weapons in the mines, these weapons use their minds as ammunition. So yeah, if you like it, great. If not, fix it or trash it. In case you're wondering if anyone is actually going to make this a literal, in case you were wondering if anyone's actually going to take this literally, yes, I quite literally am going to gear up and move against the norms. And if anyone tries to give me shit, I will simply inform them that everything I possess is well within my legal rights. Again, fucking great work, and that is from a name I will withhold. Okay, on the WOG movement thing. Now, WOGs mean different things to different people for a lot of different reasons. And there's a reason why I will not nail down what the fuck WOG means. And the reason why is because WOGs should be about unity. The minute you nail that stuff down, you give people the ability to say, oh, well, I don't agree with that, and then you start the infighting, and the infighting stops. But if you don't give them something to infight about, there is no infighting. If WOGs are about anything, it is not. It is not about using us against them. You got to get past the us and them mentality. We've got to get over that, because all that does is breed more conflict. Now, this guy here, he's got a really good point, and he's seeing what he's talking about. And, you know, that's what WOG means to him. You know what I mean? I would recommend that he be very, very careful and not be combative or violent or act out in any sort of way, because, you know, we're getting to a point now where, realistically, violence is not the answer. Everyone has got their back way up over violence. Everyone's like, oh, well, if they're violent, they're a terrorist. Bang, just like that. So I would recommend to everyone, especially now more than ever, please keep your head down. Does anybody else know why it is that I shut down the cult website and all the rest of it, and why after 9/11 everything just kind of came to a grinding halt regarding that? You know why? It's because they're on a witch hunt, guys. Okay, these people are out there looking for anyone who is out of the norm, so don't give them a reason. If you want to be an effective weapon, do not gear up and go out and move against the fucking norms. That's a bad idea. What you want to do is you want to blend in, disappear, vaporize. do some research on why the mortar teams in Vietnam were so successful. They would strike and vanish. This is the same principles that are taught by special forces around the world. Now, I'm not saying you should strike and vanish. I'm just saying be subversive. That's what the counterculture is all about. Talk about things with people in elevators. You can get very, very far just by doing some really, really good culture jamming, social engineering. That, I think, is the way that we're going to be able to make a difference. And, like, if you don't know how else to do that, well, I don't know, circulate the show. I mean, what's the nice thing about what we're doing here is that we're telling the truth. We're trying to get to the bottom of these things, and that's probably a large part of what being a WOG is all about. It's about trying to find the truth. So, you know, beyond that, anybody who wants to, you know, dress it up however they want, you know, do whatever you want to do, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I'm just saying that make sure you don't turn the WOG movement into something that can be nailed down into a corner so that, you know, people can start picking sides. We don't want people to pick sides. We want everybody on the same side. We want unity within the counterculture. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is to keep absorbing people, keep absorbing WOGs, keep absorbing what it means to be WOG until eventually a single baseline will, like, emerge. That's at least my theory anyway, and it seems to be working halfway decent. Let's get into some X-Files news. This is a bizarre fucking story from Dibbon. A British man, remember this guy? British dude thought to have hacked into 53 U.S. government agencies' computer systems has spoken out about his discoveries in NASA's network. So, buddy, this is the guy in Britain, goes over, hacks in, blah, 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 says, what did he find? The 39-year-old from North London told The Guardian he initially started his hacking career when looking for evidence for a UFO cover-up. Logical. Using a software program, Gary McKenna was able to discover senior network administrators who didn't use passwords. Oh, that's nasty. You get on easy networks like support and logistics in order to exploit the trust relationship the military departments have between each other. Once you get on, it's an easy thing to find out what networks they trust, and then you hop, hop, hop. Eventually, you think that looks a bit more secretive, McKenna told The Guardian. McKinnon said that he was eventually able to access the U.S. Space Command network, where he found evidence of an extraterrestrial mission. Now, this is where things are getting way the fuck out of control. I found a list of officers' names, he said, under the heading of non-terrestrial officers. What I think it means is not Earth-based. I found a list of fleet-to-fleet transfers and a list of ship names. I looked them up, and they weren't U.S. Navy ships. What I saw made me believe they have some kind of spaceship off-planet. McKinnon, however, said he can't remember much about the project as he'd been smoking a lot of dope at the time. You gotta love this guy, eh? The hacker has also denied that he'd made Washington's computer systems inoperable, although he did admit he may have deleted some government files by accidentally pressing the wrong key, which is just fucking golden. While McKinnon is facing the possibility of 70 years in jail, it seems NASA has more to worry about than the British man known as Solon in the hacking community. McKinnon continued, once you're on the network, you can do a command called netstat, network status, that lists all the connections to the machines. There were hackers from Denmark, Italy, Germany, Turkey, Thailand. Every night for the entire 5 to 7 years, I was doing this. So this guy was on there for 5 to 7 years? Holy crap. But, you know, as he said, you know, maybe there are aliens off-world. And I've been trying to, you know, I get some really kind of 40 in time stories sent to me from time to time, and I'm a little leery about that because I'm interested in that crap. Don't get me wrong, I am. Would you guys like me to start reporting more on 40 in stuff, like throwing in? Because I generally get about 14 news stories out there, and you know, I have to be a little bit more, you know, discerning with the news because I've only got 14 stories, and I got, you know, the complete hockey sock full of stories coming to me here, so I gotta be a little bit more, shall we say, discerning. So if you guys would like me, however I do come across them, if you guys want me to report on significant, and I mean significant events, you know, let me know, and I will continue to do that on Newsreel. Regardless, I probably would do it anyway, but things like this one here, you know, I don't know, maybe there is aliens, I have no idea, and if they are, it does sound somewhat logical that the government would be, you know, saying that they exist and stuff like that. But I think it's more likely, what's more likely, is that the government's probably got this server hooked up so to feed out disinformation about UFOs to the rest of the hacker community. So it looks like exactly this. Oh, we've got, you know, secret information the hackers have discovered. Oh, no, now they know about the aliens. Meanwhile, a lot of these experiments which are going on in the United States, mind control experiments, stuff like that, are probably, could be, I don't know, probably, I shouldn't say probably, but they could be American attempts at mind control MKUltra top secret experiments, and this way they have the aliens as scapegoats. Pretty interesting thought, eh? And in techno-fascism news sent in by Alien Binary, Yahoo and Cisco Systems will submit their email authentication specification domain keys identified mail, DKIM, to the Internet Engineering Task Force to be considered as an industry standard. This is the same thing where, you know, if you don't happen to use a domain key, that's it, you're done. Discussion will begin at the IETF meeting in Paris between July 31st and August 5th. Yahoo and Cisco officials said. DKIM combines Yahoo's domain keys and Cisco's Internet Modified Mail, two email authentication technologies developed separately, with the companies announced in June they would combine with the intention of licensing the resulting specification in royalty-free throughout the industry. Interesting. Licensing the whole email traffic thing. DKIM is designed to give email providers a mechanism to verify the origin of email messages and to combat spoofing. Danger. Spammers use spoofing to change an email address header information to deceive recipients into believing the message was sent by a known and trusted person, personal acquaintance, or legitimate business, such as a bank or an online store. Well, I mean, they're just spoofing, right? So they could appear as anything. Very often, spammers' ultimate goal with spoofing is to trick recipients into revealing confidential information, such as social security numbers, bank account information, passwords, and scammed, often referred to as phishing. Now, very often, spammers' ultimate goal. No. That is something a little bit different. Those are con artists. Spammers are just advertisers. They're annoying and they suck. But to say that all spammers are fishers trying to get personal information, that is inaccurate. Yahoo and Cisco are designing DKIM to be compatible, to be as compatible as possible with domain keys. So the migration to DKIM will be smooth for organizations that have already implemented domain keys, said Jim Fenton, distinguished engineer at Cisco. Is that what they call them, distinguished engineers? We have made a real effort to preserve the investment in infrastructure that people who have implemented domain keys have made, Fenton said. So what does this mean? This means that, of course, we're getting two internets. We're going to have the corporate internet for people, and then we're going to have the wild and free Wild West internet they're going to try to tie down. And it's going to be more and more important that all of us make sure we hold on to our freedoms with the internet, with our ability to send and receive mail, so that as they try to bring in their plot to make all phones into wearable computers so that they can take the internet and meter that sucker, that will be, you know, important for us to make sure we have an alternative, so that we will have an alternate internet so that, you know, server can continue to do the work that it needs to. In food restriction news sent in by Deadcoat and a bunch of other people, the European Court has decided to tighten rules on the sales of vitamins and minerals, because after all, you know, you wouldn't want people going around taking vitamins and minerals. The proposals will ban around 200 supplements for the sale and put restrictions on the upper limits of vitamin doses. Now, this is the stuff, the codex that I was talking about before. Some health experts wanted to see vitamins and minerals controlled in the same way as conventional medicines. Yeah, I got a prescription for vitamin C, please. But critics argued the new rules were unnecessarily restrictive and would deny consumers choice. Well, yeah, under the EU Food Supplements Directive, due to come into effect in August, supplements will only be able to include vitamins and minerals taken from an approved list. However, manufacturers of the products already on the market will have until the end of December 2009 to change any of the banned ingredients to ensure their products can continue to be sold in the future. So, again, it is the very slow boiling water of the frog. Also, the ban of non-listed supplements will apply to all vitamins and minerals normally found or consumed as part of the diet in which the National Alliance Health welcomed. Interesting. So, but still, why are you regulating this? The ban has been challenged by the Alliance of Natural Health and the Health Food Manufacturers Association and the National Association of Health Stores. They argued the legislation would be too restrictive and would threaten thousands of perfectly safe products. And if it's threatening thousands of perfectly safe products, isn't that going to be threatening you indirectly, or should I say a little bit more directly? Because after all, if you're within Europe and you like to get some vitamins, now you can't. Now, why would they do that? Why would they restrict vitamins? Well, I'll tell you why. The same reason why the government does anything. It's about money, and it's about getting the money from the pharma-fascism state. Of course, once they start metering everything, they'll meter your internet time, they'll meter your medication, they'll meter your water. That'll be coming to just you wait. Oh, yeah, they'll start metering the water pretty quick. With all these water shortages, we got to make sure that, you know, we have some sort of measure to make sure people aren't wasteful of their water. You know, we got to meter the water. We'll meter the internet. We'll meter your food, your vitamins, your supplements. Hell, we'll meter licorice. Really doesn't matter what you want. All that matters is that we make money. That is what they're about. That is all that they're about. And anything they can get away with, they will try. Now, this is a fucked up story from Falware. I can't believe this story. And this is from a major paper, too. Check this out. In Londonistan news. Now, this seems a lot like hate to me. But anyway, London, I'm going to get through this. London has become, quote, a feeding ground for hate, end quote, and a, quote, crossroads for would-be terrorists, end quote, where Muslims exploit civil liberties to openly preach jihad, according to newspapers in the United States. That's what they're saying. Over the past 3 days, articles from the front pages of newspapers across the country, including the New York Times, Los Angeles Times, San Jose Mercury News, Boston Globe, and the Wall Street Journal, described the UK as a hotbed of Islamic fundamentalism that threatens global security. Wow, that's pretty strong language to be throwing at the old Brits over there. In articles with headlines such as, for decades, London, in articles with headlines such as, now it seems that these are, I guess they're headlines is what they're saying. For decades, London thrived as a busy crossroads for terror, New York Times. And continent issues include geography and open borders. Bombers travel freely, police cannot, in the Wall Street Journal. The American press argued that London is a global hub for Islamic fundamentalism and terrorist cells. Well, considering it's the most, well, probably the most surveilled city in the world, they've got, like, more, they've got less rights than anyone else. I don't really know what London could do to make it any better. If London became a magnet for fiery preachers, it also became the destination for men willing to carry out their threats, said a front-page report in the Times of Sunday. For decades, the city has been a crossroad for would-be terrorists who use it as a home base where they could raise money, recruit members, draw inspiration from the militant messages. Although the identities and nationalities of those who committed the terrorist attacks are not yet known, the pieces hinge on the assumption that they are British citizens who've been in the country for a considerable amount of time. Relying primarily on the analysis of U.S. terrorism experts, they argue that the government's reluctance to enforce stricter surveillance and anti-terror legislation for fear of upsetting Muslims has left the U.K. and the rest of Europe more vulnerable to terrorism. How can you have stricter surveillance and anti-terror legislation? Or maybe I don't want to know, because holy crap, if you've looked at what London's got going on over there, that's some pretty strict shit. London is easily the most jihadist hub in Western Europe, end quote, says Roger Creasy, a former White House counterterrorism official, told the Los Angeles Times. London has been indoctrinating and the recruiting center for many years, Michael Radu, a terrorism expert for Foreign Policy Research Institute in Philadelphia, told the Philadelphia Tribune. In the Wall Street Journal, the former head of the State Department's counterterrorism center, Larry Johnson, said Britain has been too squeamish about respecting Muslims' rights. Britain has been too squeamish about respecting Muslims' rights. I see. As a result, argues Peter Bergen, a fellow of the New America Foundation, British Muslims pose one of the greatest terrorist threats to the United States. Now, again, I don't think that this is necessarily a British thing. I think this is a mud hut religion thing. This is yet another reason why I'm one of these guys standing up on the podium over here saying we need to ditch religion. Hello, we need to evolve a little bit. We're talking about a planet where we can fly around the entire goddamn globe in a matter of days, and we're still using an operating system as a baseline operating system that has been used ever since men were riding camels across the desert. Now, this is fucking retarded, okay? This is absolutely ridiculous that we still hold on to Judaism, that we still hold on to Islam, that we still hold on to these Judeo-Christian principles or Roman Catholic or whatever. Come on! Let's get past this. Let's just, you know, get into some science. I'm not saying there's no such thing as spirituality, but what I am saying is that this is just absolutely nuts. Like, who the fuck You know, oh, God, it makes me absolutely insane that there's so much hate being pointed, you know, back and forth and la, 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 la. You know, maybe if we could just educate people. That's got to be the only way we can do this. We got to educate people because, you know, there's an interesting point that came across. Now, before I get into this a little bit further about the education thing, I'm going to read what Falware, who sent me this article, he wrote an attachment to this that sums it up pretty good. Hey, Sean. This is about this whole, you know, British, everyone in Britain's terrorism things. This is absolutely ludicrous. The terrorists that the U.S. government claimed to be committed the atrocities on September 11th, 2001, were residing in the USA. So does that make the United States a breeding ground for terrorism as well? I'm sure you already realize it is BS. These news stories are non-existent stories concocted out of thin air, and the whole intent is to get people scared to not trust one another. Why? Obviously, so the general public will support the change to increase security and decrease both freedoms and liberties. The stories are mainstream, but they have a total fog of war in the battle for these people's minds. I'm so frustrated that the average Jane or John Doe is swallowing these lies hook, line, and sinker. Every thought I have is to change for the truth, honor, and justice goes against the cursed established law. I feel as though my hands are tied, and I have to accept what is, and what is coming to be against our will. I'm not scared. I'm extremely frustrated. All I can do is take care of my own home, my family, and friends to the best of my abilities. But sooner or later, this fight for the minds will come to everyone's doorstep, including mine. Do you have any words of hope? I greatly admire you for what I do, whether it is intended as enlightenment or simply taking a stand for freedom. My perspective sees RAND Media as a small organization that is struggling to carry the banner of the fight for freedom. I look forward to you truly throwing down the gauntlet, becoming a mainstream reporter that reaches mass audiences. So here's my suggestion. Make duplicate copies of your news program that bleeps out the profanity and get that rebroadcast mainstream. People will be able to fill in the blanks in their own mind, and this doesn't restrict your choice of words while getting around the FCC restrictions. Again, thank you for all you do, your ally and friend, Semper Fi, Falware. Now, the thing is, his statement here, I'm not going to be changing it could be argued that I am mainstream. Anybody can download this show. Anyone can listen to the show, and a lot of people do. You'd be surprised the amount of people who listen to this show. So you know what? I say fuck the mainstream. I'm just going to keep doing my thing, and if the mainstream wants it, well, it should be everywhere. Weed is illegal, and yet everybody seems to be able to get it. I'd like Newsreel to have that kind of, following as well. Who cares? Who cares how I dress up the points? The whole point of communication is for me to communicate my frustration and thoughts and ideas to you, and I will use any weapons at my disposal, be them swear words, music, hell, I'd use mind control if I could create world peace. But the point is that we need to have an alliance. The only way that we are going to be able to hold on and make it through this sucker with all these core politicals trying to turn us against each other is to hold on to unity. Unity, unity, unity. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but you can see that that's obviously what they're trying to destroy. They want to get people shattered, broken, not trusting each other. Very, very bad. They've got to make it so that everyone's afraid of the internet. Oh, there's hackers and terror and all sorts of evil shit out there floating around. We need unity, and the best tool we have for unity is free distribution of information, and the best tool to do that, of course, bar none, is the web. So this is why it's very important that each and every one of us who have the show, who listen to the show, who have their own minds, hold on to their thoughts, dreams, and beliefs, share their thoughts, dreams, and beliefs, and make sure that we as a group, as a culture, as a counterculture, are able to rally under the banner of the WOGs and keep together so that we have our friends there. We are able to have community there, and we will not turn on our own brothers. We will not do that. Now, moving on to Netrunner News. Deadcoat sent this in again. Deadcoat's a machine over there. The Dutch Protection, this is an update, by the way. You remember how the Dutch Protection Rights Entertainment Industry Netherlands, Breen, it's apparently lost its case against five Dutch ISPs who refused to hand the names of 42 suspected SWAM swappers over to them. Now, Breen knew these individuals only by their IP address, and I'm really kind of impressed that the Dutch ISPs went, no, fuck you, we're not giving over the names. And there are 42 people, you know, it wasn't like 42,000 people, it was just 42 people. And the ISPs were like, kiss my ass, you're not getting their names. The court ruled that Breen made a crucial mistake in collecting evidence against the individuals. Breen hired the U.S. company Media Century, which monitors popular online forums and P2P services for copyright infringements and tracks unauthorized online distribution. Wow, what a bunch of shit pumps. They're essentially hired assassins for core politicals. Of course, I suppose, you know, it could be argued that, you know, they're, I don't really know what to say here. I guess, you know, they're just trying to make a buck or whatever. But, you know, companies like this that are essentially net mercenaries, you know, you're opening yourselves up because if you're saying that, oh, yeah, we're going to make our money by farming the counterculture, by farming hackers, and by throwing kids in jail, well, you leave yourself open for attack, man. That's not really too wise because eventually the hackers are going to turn on you. You know, just sort of like you go into a bar, you start punching people, eventually you're going to get punched back. Apparently, the company only looked at sharing folders of Kazaa, but these folders may have also contained files for personal use, the court argues. There's not enough proof that these particular files were uploaded. The ruling isn't a full victory for the Dutch ISP. The court argued the ISPs can be forced by law to hand over personal data. However, in order to do so, Breen would have to start all over again. So whether or not they do that, I mean, they could. I mean, you know, it depends how anal they want to get and how crazy they want to get. They could do it. But you never know. I didn't know about these guys, Media Century, though, that we've got these actual, you know, net merc units running around blading kids and throwing them in jail. I hope they feel really good about themselves. I guess that's all about what the American way is all about, right? I mean, you know, capitalism running wild. Who cares gets hurt? Who cares who gets hurt so long as I make money? Now, into cancer-curing news. This is something that's sent to me by Ion. Interesting story. A study published in the upcoming issue of Cancer Magazine related that curry cumin, a chemical pigment in turmeric, helped stop the spread of breast cancer tumor cells to the lungs of mice. Now doctors have launched clinical tests to see if it works in humans, says Bharat Aragwal of the Department of Experimental Therapeutics at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, who led the study. Earlier studies suggest that people who eat diets rich in turmeric have lower rates of breast cancer, prostate cancer, lung cancer, and colon cancer. Isn't that interesting? So I guess curry has something to do with destroying cancer. Weird. He noted that many cancers are 10 times rarer on the Indian subcontinent than in the West. Well, why haven't I heard about that before? The breakthrough came as no subscribe to the owner of an Indian restaurant in downtown Manhattan. Abu Sayed told the Daily News, "We already knew that Indian food tastes good, but it's good to hear it can help with cancer too. It's one more reason to eat plenty of it." Well, that's exactly why he runs an Indian restaurant. But it's interesting that they're talking about how curry is apparently good for fighting cancer. And I don't know about you, but I didn't know people in India were 10 times less likely to get cancer. And the interesting thing is, too, is they're saying that people who get any mental disorders in India, in those regions of the world, are more likely to recover as well. So it seems like, you know, maybe cultural living, how they do it over there, might be something that we might want to look at over here and how we're living our lives. Just a thought. I don't know. Maybe you could get back to me on that. But I think it's something we may wish to consider. Now, Falweir sent me in another story here in body mod news. Ready for this one? Senators who want the public to pay for human embryonic stem cell studies said Tuesday that Congress must first pass legislation to lift President Bush's restrictions on such research before paying for unproven alternative methods favored by the conservatives. Because, you see, George Bush's crew, they want to, you know, use these other untested, unproven methods, but, you know, everybody else is like, fuck that. We've got the science that's being done in the world. Why don't we use it? I'm all for these alternative sources, but let's go ahead and pursue them. But if we already know how to derive stem cells, said Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa, this Senator Arlene Specter is sponsoring a House-passed bill to lift Bush's restrictions on stem cell research, which I think is a good idea. Testifying Tuesday, where four scientists whose alternative research is being considered by Bush, Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, and other conservatives who want to vote for embryonic stem cell legislation that does not destroy budding human life. A budding human life. Wow. I love how we've got this wonderful combination of church and state. Frist, from Tennessee, wants to bring up four or five such bills as alternative to the Specter-Harkin to give senators a way to vote for embryonic stem cell research without crossing without crossing constituents who harbor moral concerns. You know, that's the best part about these moral concerns. I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about child development. Did you know that before the age of five, children, any child, really cannot tell the difference between fantasy and reality before the age of five? Like, they're generally, you know, kind of, they're kids, they're little kids, right? So they don't understand that, you know, Santa Claus isn't real and all this kind of jazz. You know, they believe in the Easter Bunny and all that sort of stuff. And it's a world of wonder and magic and all that good stuff. And don't get me wrong, I you know, I think that's great. I mean, after all, I am, first and foremost, well, when I was a kid, all I wanted to be was a horror story writer because I loved it. I loved, you know, campfires and telling scary stories and stuff like that. It's fun. It's a good thing to do. But, you know, when you start taking these kids to church and then you implant them with these crazy fucking ideas, which obviously lead to massive scale wars and terrorist concerns because of some all-knowing, all-seeing God who apparently wants you to kill people, depending on how your priest spins it, you know, these are a real problem. So when people start talking to me about moral concerns, if you don't like stem cell research, okay, go make peace with it in your own way, all right? If you don't like stem cell research, fucking A. Then don't participate in anything that has anything to do with stem cell research. Like, become a vegan of stem cell research. And that's cool. You have your own choice to do that. But I don't happen to agree with your mud hut religious principles. So leave it alone. Let's get some people cured of diseases, shall we? So that we can decrease suffering on a global scale. Well, interesting. The methods aren't worth funding without passing the Spector-Harkin bill, the sponsor said. What we're discussing today hasn't been published in a single scientific journal, Harkin said. It hasn't even cleared the peer review process. It hasn't been tried in mice. We're a long way from proving it works with human embryos. These are the alternatives they have from getting stem cell research. Because again, you know, oh my gosh, you know, the hardcore pro-life psycho movement there, you know, where all life is sacred, you know, we mustn't do any kind of, and life, you know, begins the moment the sperm enters the egg. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't even jerk off, because then that goes against what God wants, blah, blah, blah. These people are boring the shit out of me. Harkin said, if we're going to fund these alternative approaches, that's fine, but if we don't stop the process we have right now of deriving embryonic stem cells, we have much more promise for cures. Cures, science, medicine. We need to cure people. Spector, who's a cancer patient, angry at the delay caused by Bush's 2001 on federal funding for new embryonic stem cells, made clear his bill is the first priority. If we can pass the House bill, Spector-Harkin will be the most... If we can pass the House bill, Spector-Harkin, that is the most important bill to be enacted, Spector said as he gaveled open at the Labor, Health, and Human Services Subcommittee hearing. Now, I gotta say is I agree with the guy. You know, I'm not really into a lot of suffering going on in the world. Don't get me wrong. Like, when I saw that picture I posted on my live journal of that rat that they wired up shit to his brain and stuff, I mean, that's a creepy picture, okay? There's a lot of creepy stuff that happens. But you know what? Some of that stuff has to get done if we want to keep moving towards the future. If we want to keep moving with technology and all that kind of jazz, maybe that's the way we should be going. Now, there are those who would argue that maybe we shouldn't be moving on technology this fast. Maybe we should just stop, you know? Maybe we should take a look at what we already have. We've gained a lot of ground. Let's get everything we have under control and then move forwards. There's that argument. You know, let's look at all the cultures around the world, see who's got the most healthy mental health. Let's see who's got the best family unit. Let's look at all the cultures in history. We've got a whole shitload of civilizations, and then custom build our own global civilization based upon that. You know, I don't know, maybe I'm way out on the fantasy realms here, but it seems to me the most logical and realistic way in which to get some sort of global unity going on here. Now, here is a Secret of NIMH story, if ever I heard one. In Planet of the Apes news, now this got sent to me by Nodaly. Scientists have been warned that their latest experiments may accidentally produce monkeys with brains more human than animal. This is creepy. In cutting-edge experiments, scientists have injected human brain cells into monkey fetuses to study the effect. Oop, oop, eep, eep. Critics argue that if these fetuses are allowed to develop into self-aware subjects, science will be thrown into an ethical nightmare. Well, let's be real. There is no ethics in science, okay? Don't go pissing on my back and telling me it's raining. There's about as much ethics in science as there is in business, including morality. An eminent committee of American scientists will call for restrictions into the research, saying the outcome of such studies cannot be predicted and may, in fact, produce subjects with super animal intelligence. And you know who's going to move in then? Well, we're going to have the military move in then because, you know, bioweapons are a huge emergent field. The high-powered committee of animal behavioralists, lawyers, philosophers, bioethicists, and neuroscientists was established 4 years ago to examine the growing number of human-monkey experiments. These procedures, known as human primate chimeras, involve a combination of a human and monkey cell tissue and DNA to observe any effect and examine the possibility that such a combination could actually exist. Chimeras, of course, are the mythical monsters of Greek literature, which combine various body parts from goats, lions, and snakes. In my books, I call them plexites, but that's okay. This team will soon publish its conclusions, in the leading journal, Science. In the report, the committee will address such unsettling questions as whether to introduce human cells into non-human primate brains that could cause significant physical or biochemical changes that make the brain more human-like, and how those changes could be detected. Well, when the monkey breaks out of the cage, steals the .45, racks the slide, and begins breaking out his primates in sort of a large uprising, that would be an indication. Now, personally, I'd be voting for the monkey. You know, I really would. You know, I understand this research is important, yada, 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 but if a monkey, you know, all of a sudden got self-aware and goes, holy fuck, man, I gotta get out of here, well, I'd be kind of voting for the monkey. You know, I'm kind of an under-monkey sort of voting guy. The committee will also examine how detectable differences in the monkeys' brains, for example, emotional and behavioral changes, that the monkeys developed self-awareness could be measured and dealt with. What we were trying to do was anticipate, recognize that if science were able to take that path, we might be some kinds of moral challenges, said committee co-chairman Dr. Ruth Faden, a professor in biomedical ethics. Now, I wonder, let's say we take a bunch of baboons. Okay, baboons are pretty fucking hardcore creatures. Matter of fact, a few years back, a bunch of baboons turned on the people of Australia and killed a whole bunch of them and ate them. Now, this was a while back, or it might have been Africa. I can't remember when that was, but there was a large... Fuck, I wish I could remember the name of that incident. Somebody could probably get that to me. But there was a huge incident where there was a massive drought, and all these baboons turned on people and basically fucking murdered an entire town for food. Now, when you think about, what if you were to take these monkeys here, right? What if you take these monkeys and you were to go and, say, boost their brains up a whole bunch? Okay, so they're born and they've got, you know, these brains, you alter their DNA and all the rest of it. And then, through some crazy medium, you release these monkeys back into the wild. Well, or into the wild, I should say. Wouldn't they mate, produce offspring, and then you'd wind up with this whole race of super monkeys going on? You'd have the monkeys start, you know... Well, you'd encourage evolution, wouldn't you? That's a scary concept. Now, in robotic takeover news, now everybody knows about the DARPA challenge, right? The grand challenge where they got to go 175 miles desert race with a $2 million winner-take-all prize. Well, check this out. Carnegie Mellon's university autonomous robot Hummer Sandstorm drove an unprecedented 200 miles in 7 hours without human guidance last week in preparation for the same challenge. Sandstorms uses sensors to see and computers to drive. It drove 131 laps on a 1.5-mile race course at the Beaver Run Motorsports Complex near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on July 4th. The drive was an endurance evaluation of the robot's computers, sensors, and mechanical systems. The machine averaged 28 miles per hour and had a top speed of 36 miles per hour to complete its 7-hour 200-mile marathon. That doesn't sound like a big deal for a human-driven car, but it's a very big deal for the pioneering of computer-driven vehicles, says Red Team Leader, Robotics Professor William L. Red Whitaker. That distance, speed, and duration are unprecedented for a completely autonomous machine. However, this machine and 19 others will face far more difficult conditions on the October 8th race across the Mojave Desert. We are a desert racing team without a desert, so we test on the local sites like the Beaver Run racetrack, says Whitaker said. Sandstorm ran a quick pace on this track, but the Mojave will not be easy or forgiving. On July 4th, we will learn that our hardware and software are reliable, and that is important. to finish first, you must first finish. Dun, dun, dun. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't think it's going to finish. Sorry, I've taken a look at it, and I say, nope, not going to come across. So I'm betting against any of the robots actually making it through the Mojave Desert. That's just me. Of course, now, you know, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that. I'm being a total negative Nancy here. Not good. So, you know, I haven't seen the other robots from the other teams, and maybe they've got something really, really cool. But unless it's Mecha, I don't think it's going to make it. I'm voting that Mecha is the only decent all-terrain vehicle. Thanks for coming out. Well, I wonder sometimes why no one's made a hovercraft, you know, but, you know, maybe that's just me. Now, in mind control news, now this, I'm getting a little bit more into mind. If anybody gets any mind control stories, please let me know, because this is a really interesting field to me. I'm really interested in mind control technologies. I might even start experimenting with it a little bit. Ooh, makes you kind of afraid for the next After Now episodes, doesn't it? But anyway, Thunderspud sent this one in here. This is from Russia. Deputy Media Minister Valery Shrego announced the imminent advent of a detector that will spot 25th frame on every TV channel in Russia. Now, this is interesting. The thing known as the 25th frame effect has long been a thorn in the media ministry's side. Another ministry of anti-monopoly policies has made public the fact that some Russian television channels resort to influencing the public's psyche on the sly. The human eye is known to miss transition from one frame to the next if they replace one another at the rate of 24 frames per second. Thus, the 25th frame goes unnoticed, as it were, but it can carry information whose legal inclination should be paid for if it's commercial, or can be banned altogether if it's a species of PR. The media ministry does not yet possess full statistics of the use of the 25th frame by televisions, but unofficial estimates suggest that every fifth program contains hidden insertions. Now, this is coming straight out of Moscow, so you got to know that this same technology is being used in America, yet another reason to turn off the television. So, the ministry commissioned the Russian National Television Radio Research Center to make a detector for finding the miscreants. Now, I'd love to get the schematics for this, or even get a hold. If we've got anybody in Russia who can get a hold of one of these units, explain how they work, so that we could get a hold of it over here and start, you know, making them over here, this would be great. The gadgets have already been manufactured and will be put to work on the air within 4 months, so they already have this gear. This equipment is totally new for Russia. While the rest of the world, there are no more than three similar devices. I didn't even know there's three similar devices. Any violations, the detector will register and incur heavy fines and penalties, including license revocation. Commenting on the novelty, Russian public television public relations director Igor Burganov says there wasn't much scientific data on the 25th frame's psychic effect, while some scholars believe this effect is a myth. Well, some of those scholars are not the people from the research we've done on mind control in North America, because I'm here to tell you, if you do a little reading on that, it's a little bit frightening. Experiments to determine commercial expediency of hidden insertions were likewise inconclusive, apparently. Bans on the 25th frame are common practice in the world. Abiding by this regulation is routine for television in law-governed countries. Channel 1 observes the law naturally. Nevertheless, if the detector is introduced, we will welcome it wholeheartedly, because the viewer ought to be protected against potential dangers, Mr. Burkov said in conclusion. So, it seems that if this 25th frame thing is a myth, if it doesn't exist, if it's not real, why then is there a ban on the 25th frame in most commonplace law-abiding countries in the world? And if somebody could get me some information on that, I'd like to know exactly how many countries. Do we have something like that in America? Is there something going on in North America that prevents us from being programmed by the 25th frame? And is that same thing useful for film? If you were to go see one of these horribly advertised, completely marketed films like, I don't know, Garfield. You know, I mean, these films are just utter shit. Yet, who's to say that you're not getting beamed mind control on the 25th slide of film or the 25th frame? I mean, these are, yeah, we're getting into tinfoil hat territory, but this is stuff that people need to know about because it's real. And finally, again from Dead Code, I've got something else in book death news. Now, listen to this one here. Fujitsu has developed what it claims to be the world's first electronic paper that can be flexed, can display color images, and can do so when the power is turned off. So it augments, changes its design, and then when you turn it off, it stays like that. The key to Fujitsu's e-paper is a film substrate that is sufficiently flexible to allow the paper to be bent, but rugged enough to prevent damage from distorting. And unlike today's LCD panels, the image doesn't distort when it's pressed. In operation, the e-paper uses 100th to 1,000th of the energy required by conventional display technologies, Fujitsu said, falling to zero when the image is unchanged. This so-called memory function makes the e-paper ideal for billboards, menus, any backlit advertising panel, or other documents that are changed regularly, but not frequently. Changing the image requires very small amounts of energy, Fujitsu said, in equivalence to a radio signal used to exchange information between contactless smart cards. So, if they have this e-paper, right, and it takes very little energy to change it, right, wouldn't that mean then that with very little... couldn't you become a digital graffiti artist? Like, couldn't you walk up to this e-paper, hack it, upload your own image, lock it down with some kind of encryption, and then nobody can access that billboard again? I mean, they'd have to take the thing apart and replace it. Very expensive. And the picture quality is good, too, posted the developer. The e-paper is formed from three separate display layers, each one for red, blue, and green pixels. There are no color or polarizing filters to limit the transmission of light through the paper, resulting in color that is significantly more vivid than conventional reflective-type LCDs, Fujitsu claimed. And with no need to update the image continually, thanks to the memory function, static images can be displayed without flicker, apparently. Right now, it only exists in a lab, and of course, but Fujitsu said it plans to begin testing the product in real-world environments to view the commercial release sometime between April 2006 and March 2007, the company's 2006 fiscal year. Now, Fujitsu may have something kind of cool here. At one end, you look at this and go, wow, that's really sick, dude. You know, I mean, obviously, they're going to start changing up all of our, you know, paper. Things are going to change, and as things micronize, they're going to start taking out the books, and that is a little bit frightening. That's why this is a book death story. One of the things that's bad about electronic media is that it's so easy to alter. When you have a book is a real thing. You can put it on its shelf, and it doesn't really change unless you break out the liquid paper and the pens. But e-media, you can alter with the tap of a button, and then you wind up getting into, well, a method of very, very effectively hiding the truth. See, the truth is real. But just like, you know, C.S. Lewis wrote about in his book, The Screwtape Diaries, or pardon me, Screwtape Letters, he talks about ways that people can be duped away from the truth. The truth is, whatever the truth is, like, let's say there's a God, great, that's the truth. If there's no God, great, that's the truth. Okay? If Allah is God, great, that's the truth, right? But it doesn't matter if I believe it or not. If it's the truth doesn't care if you believe it. The truth is. The truth is a real thing. It's just getting harder and harder to get to because so many people are practicing disinformation. 25 different stories of the same thing. A massive barrage of fire hose media of which we have to drink from, and we're not able to get the questions that we want answered. There's too much other distraction. This is one of the great flaws, one of the great downfalls of the internet is that there's so much distraction out there, so much disinformation. It's a fantastic tool for hiding. It's a fantastic tool for propaganda discrimination, or pardon me, dissemination, and hopefully for discrimination as well. I would love it if people could have, you know, the intestinal fortitude to just, you know, go online, use Adblock as it comes inside of Firefox, use all these tools you have to cut the crap out of the internet and retake the internet again and use it as the educational medium it was first intended to be. But until we're able to do that, we have to be aware of reality manipulation by people who wish to change history. And e-paper, although it's only being talked about in billboards here, we have to make sure that next time you go out and about, swing by the used bookstore and swing by the nonfiction section. Make sure you pick up any textbooks you can get out of there, because very, very soon, knowledge is going to be hard currency in the upcoming years. I got a great daily hack for the Army of the Flying Monkeys out here. This was a World News System translator that got sent to me from Skyburst. Check this thing out. This enables you to get news from all over the world translated into English. Very, very cool. We're getting some amazing tools out there. It used to be that I could, you know, just jump online and go out and get, you know, news stories, do some news harvesting, throw the program together. But now, thanks to you, thanks to all the Army of Flying Monkeys out there who send in these news stories, we're getting some really bleeding edge stuff. And this is another tool from Skyburst that will help us continue to improve the show. And I got this letter. Now, this is kind of a weird for a daily hack because it's a letter I'm going to read to you from Alien Binary about securing your address book. Listen to this. I was walking home from one of my engineering jobs when I found a busted Singular wireless cell phone. On the back of the case, which was heavily cracked, I found the owner's phone number. Knowing how pissed I would be if I lost my cell phone, I decided to be nice and gave the number a ring. Way to walk the fuck up. The man on the other end didn't want the cell phone, although I offered to give it back. What surprised me is he appeared completely unaware of the smart chip embedded inside of his wireless device. Underneath the battery, I found a 64K smart card, which I can only presume contains the ESN, electronic serial number, customer data, and address book. This is an analogous to an EEPROM, except it can be switched over when a phone is recycled. So here is my word of caution to all the wogs out there with Nokia phones. If you decide to recycle or trash your cell, first remove the battery case and look underneath. There should be a small chip that's the same shape but different proportions as the palm. Different proportions as a palm, as in Palm Pilot, Smart Media Card. Slide your thumb over the chip and remove it. You can drop this bad boy in the microwave for all I care, but be sure to nuke the data. Also, if you own a Motorola or Sony Ericsson or an IKEA with changeable face paint, never ever throw out the original face. Keep the rubber touchpad, the screws, and all of the parts removed. Make sure not to damage the serial number on the antenna. Put these in a plastic bag for storage. When you trade in your phone, first remove your customization, replace the proprietary faceplate, and clean it up for signs of tampering. If you cannot find the right screwdriver bit, that's fine. The bit can be found at Radio Shack. Kronos makes a good set of electronic screwdrivers. I use one with a changeable bit, single-handled, and the bit that Sony uses is a T6 bit. This will ensure that you don't visibly thread the screws when you hack your phone. With love, Alien Binary. Now, this is all very important stuff, and yet another reason why all of us should begin making our very own electronics labs somewhere in your house. I know you've got a closet you can use somewhere. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight in a time of crisis, and they are Forley, WebLife, Alan, Drew, Wise, Simaru, Drake, Jesse, Robert, Grey Ghost, Art, Michael, End User, Noog, Christopher, Noog, Kevin, Joseph, Jesse, Derek, Desert Runner, Eric, Michael, Dennis, C4, Steve, Jesse, Brandon, Matthew, Peter, Malcolm, Timor, Rosalie, Keith, Jason, Matt, Evan, Matt, Austin, David, Palmer, Jonathan, Adam, Richard, Host Mojo, Peter, Charles, Jason, Jonathan, Brandon, Mainframe, Burger No Fries, Innominate, Matt, Jennifer, Matthew, Charles, Lars, Eric, Dark Nature, Brandon, and Michael. Thank you so much. And new subscribers, the backup for this month were Alex, Jerry, Cameron, and Brenly. Thank you so much for jumping on board. And if you would like to help keep this Daily News broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. And as well, thanks to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. We're doing a great job on this, guys. Thank you so much for your help. And if you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel. That's newsreel at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the compilation album Septic 4. I'm going to leave you now with We Will Rock You, as done by the Emergency Broadcast Network. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
A presidential address. From New York, here is Dan Rather.
Good evening again. The President of the United States is about to address the nation from the Oval Office. Here now is the President.
Our military commander to totally rock America. And I repeat those well-known words over and over again. We will rock you. And I repeat this over and over again. Over and over again. And I repeat this over and over again. Over and may ask, why rock out now? The answer is clear.
The facts are clear.
The answer is clear.
That's why
so very true today.